Kia ora. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you, in terms of borrowings and that 200% net borrowings operating incomes, what's the dollar value of our headroom there under this proposed draft annual plan?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Councillor. I will just need to get that information and I'll come back to you.
Thank you.
In the meantime, can we have Jill Griggs?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have two questions, if I may. One of them is about the co-funding with Namanu. I understand the situation completely, that we've taken that list of items that we had agreed and now have decided not to do them to keep the rates lower. Mark, in your presentation, you mentioned that we would continue to review the situation on that co-funding. I just wondered if you could expand that a little more, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through you. Yes, our position is prior to COVID-19 rapidly progressing to level 2, 3, and 4, the council was very much partnering with the Namanu Nature Reserve to help facilitate it as successful as possible for their application. So what the intent of the report is saying is that given that there's no surety that they will get that funding, we feel it's prudent not to make provision for that in the budget. We've got a strong relationship with Namanu, and we'll continue to engage in dialogue with them and follow their application process.
Thank you for that. We also have, from the Waikanae board, a capital spend fund, and we may be able to contribute something from that towards that. I need to discuss that with the board. My second question was, on a similar nature, I understand why we've got the 400K being taken out for the Waikanae Library, but in your presentation you said that had been put in there to speed the process. So my question is, by taking it out, are we by consequence slowing the process? And is there anything we can do about that?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for the question. Look, ultimately what we're saying is when we're looking at a risk perspective, we put in a little bit more money for us to go faster and do more.
Right.
Given the situation, we are recommending to reduce the average rate increase, and so the tough decision is to take that out. We can still do some work. We just won't be able to go as far and as fast as what we're wanting to do.
Obviously that's the critical thing within our area, and it would be good to just have a little bit of more better understanding of what would be flowed and what the new expectations are.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Look, I might refer to the Chief Executive, but that's probably detail outside of discussion of today's paper. We're trying to identify ways and means of getting the budget down, and there is budget included in the 2.6% to start working on the future of Waikanae Library. The risk is that there's not as much. It was felt that we did want to do more, but there's certainly enough to do more, and the precise nature of that would probably be the subject of either a further paper or a further briefing.
Okay, thank you very much.
If I can just add, Mr. Mayor, when elected members asked for that FX funding, staff hadn't actually suggested anything like it because we weren't ready to spend it. Okay. So it actually was creating a budget item that we didn't need. If you recall, the original intention was to undertake quite a comprehensive community consultation in terms of what do you want the ideal place to look like. And that's really the focus for the next sort of 6 to 12 months, is to get a community-led design. Now, if you'd put in that extra CapEx funding and we needed to do detailed designs and get on with something, we would have probably short-circuited that community involvement and just gone out for design. So that's still an open subject for discussion about how you'd like to go. But essentially, what we're saying and what we said at the last briefing was, there's enough funding there for us to continue at the applicable pace, and we probably would have struggled to use that extra funding properly. So we're not concerned. We also gave an undertaking that if we get further and we want to find funding for detailed designs, we will come back to the council and prioritise to do that. There's no intention to slow things down. It was actually that we couldn't go as fast as the money you were putting aside.
Thank you very much for that.
Right, and I know the chief executive is going to leave the meeting at 1 o'clock. So Sean Mellon will be sitting in his place, a hot seat. The next question is Councillor Elliott.
Thank you. I have two items to put in debate, and they are around two items to keep in the budget for the planning and one to remove, and that's the Otarara Park, $700,000. But what I want to ask the question of staff is consideration of OPEX costs in our annual planning. It's a hugely important matter. We've had time to get some really, really detailed public feedback this week, and OPEX is something that keeps coming up. So going back to our fact that right now possibly 70% of the staff are working from home successfully, we have leases on two buildings, Tākere House and Maple Building. I don't believe council own it. And I would like to have a report back from staff at some point during this annual plan discussion on those leases and whether or not we can continue with staff working from home. I think it's really, really important that we look at OPEX, look at the costs of those leases, the cost of the energy costs of continuing to ongoing to run those two extra sites, whether or not they are needed, and whether or not, and what the implications are of ending the leases before the terms of the leases. Is there any chance that can come back to us? We have, you know, possibly 70% of 300 staff working, plus staff working very successfully from home. It's environmentally sustainable for them to do so, and I think it's very appropriate for this to be looked at and discussed.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Councillor. Look, there's quite a few things there. Clearly, we are looking at our operating costs going forward, and we will continue to do so and report back on the 4th of June. We know that in terms of our leases on the Maple Building, that's a contractual commitment. So the fact that we haven't been able to physically locate that building, we still have that lease to pay. Those are the questions that we are having. So obviously the lease on that building expires later this year.
Is that Maple, sorry?
So we now have options. So if we can't find a suitable premise, we can't reach an agreement of renegotiating the lease, we absolutely have seen the success of staff working from home. So in terms of savings to our energy bills, probably not significant at this stage. We have to be ready on our swimming pools to go. And we are in level 3 now, so we do have work plans in place, and staff are, whilst limited, are accessing our buildings. So I'd like to assure everyone that we look at our operating costs all the time. You know, we've got, we sit amongst the lowest operating costs in the country, and that sort of report back will be on the 4th of June, but we're certainly not in a position now, because we can't occupy our buildings, we suddenly don't have leases. And we've heard
in
particular that whilst working from home does bring about lots of efficiencies, it also brings about lots of inefficiencies. So we have to consider that too.
And as far as Tākere House, I realise we've just entered into that one last year. So can we have details of the lease terms for Tākere House? And the reason I think about those two is because when we looked at our carbon neutral aspirations, it was noted and stated by staff that running the third building for staff at Takari House had a had quite a significant increase on our emissions or carbons. So that's something that could be used to reduce those carbons long term. But and also, I guess, in the same discussion, I'm fully in favour of returning the electric vehicle purchases to our planned expenditure for this year, given that it will show ongoing OPEX reductions, which is really important for our public to see. I mean, and also the real reductions and ongoing costs of those. So just before debate, I'll signal that I definitely want that one put back in. That's me.
Right. Martin Holliday.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for that, Mark. I'll be brief. Well, I've got a few questions and I'll try to be straight to the point. First question is around the CapEx that's not being spent this year being transferred to the next financial year. I'm sure there's legal reasons for this, but in relation to what we've been talking to around the community boards, is there any reason why the funding couldn't follow or couldn't have followed that that movement of the capital spend into the next financial year from this year? I mean, I know it would impact on our budgeting for this year, but were there reasons?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Councillor. So what happened? We're signalling, or certainly on the 7th of February, we signalled to you carryovers in the order of $11 million from the current financial year into next year, which is why we saw this quite significant increase into the total capital work program for next year. So what happens, so if we don't do the CapEx, then we don't incur the borrowing, we don't draw down money. So we carry the budget over to the following financial year and we draw down on the borrowings as and when needed to pay for that, to pay for that CapEx program. So what the benefit that we get by not finishing projects is that the generally we aren't incurring interest on borrowings that we haven't drawn down. But of course, there could be delays to crystallising the benefits of what it is we're doing. So so there is, I think earlier today we talked about, well, I know we did, we talked about carrying over the unallocated OPEX grants of the community boards for the as part of the community support package. And what I said is that's OPEX. And typically, we don't carry that over from one year to the other because it's the benefit comes back to the ratepayer by way of the rates funding surplus. So, but because of COVID-19, we are going to carry that OPEX over. But when we carry over CapEx, we secure the budget for next year. We haven't incurred the borrowings and we haven't incurred the interest costs. So there are savings.
Thank you. Next thing was, when you talked about confirming the spend of 38 CapEx million next year, you mentioned that consultation is not triggered unless we go above that $38 million spend. So does that mean if we rejig things that consultation isn't required, or if we do get some green lights, does it need to be done on a case-by-case basis without rejigging, if you like?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Yeah, thank you, Councillor. That's an excellent question. So look, I'm pretty sure as a senior leadership team, we'll be working through the capital works program on the assumption that we don't get the green light on all the shovel-ready projects. There is a significant amount of work that's in train that it's just physically not able to be completed this financial year because of alert level 4 lockdown. Issues, etc. So the first thing to do would be to make sure that those projects that are in train that need to be completed are completed next year, as well as all the critical items that we plan to do. So as long as we don't exceed the upper limit of our financial strategy, you're correct. We do not need to consult with the community. The moment we go over the financial, the upper limit of the financial strategy, that does trigger consultation. And if we are suddenly at a position where we need to make sure that we finish what we've already started, we're doing our critical capital works plan for next year, and we get the green light on the shovel-ready projects, and it's going to take us to whatever it is, we will consult with the community. We'll obviously discuss it with yourselves. We'll consult with the community because there will be an impact on borrowings. It'll impact the headroom. And obviously, we'll need to actually make sure that the community are happy for those projects to take place. But yes, if we go over the upper limit of the financial strategy, that's where we need to consult with the community.
Thanks, Mark. The next thing, just referring to paragraph 24, which was on page 12, you've got a thing there in access and transport, and this might be either Glenn or Sean. The increased footpath renewals due to additional NZ Transport Agency funding at $1.7 million. I was just interested to know whether that $1.7 million is all rates or whether that's our portion of that spend. In other words, is that $1.7 got a portion of the NZTA funding included in that figure?
So the answer to that, yes, it includes the subsidy from NZTA. So that's with 51% subsidy.
Cool. Okay, that's great. Thanks for that. In regards to the community feedback, which for you mentioned the 29th of May, we're looking at getting comments, having comments come back from the general public. In regards to our community with regards to the annual plan. And then we're going to be making some decisions around this on the 4th of June. So will we be getting that information sort of correlated and back to us on the 4th of June, or will that come back a little bit earlier than that? So we've just got a little bit of time to digest that information.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Thanks, Councillor. Look, that's another good question. No, we're going to do things a little bit differently this year. So it's not a consultation process. There aren't going to be oral hearings of anyone's submissions, but we heard the message that you gave us very clearly on the point, and that was to make sure that people could provide feedback on the annual plan. Yeah. So how we're going to run this campaign is that every Friday, so when we launch the information document and we're running our campaign, each Friday, the feedback that we've received will be collated and sent out to councillors and community board chairs. We at this stage, we're not planning on doing any analysis on it or summarising it for you. It's going to be the raw feedback that we're getting so that you effectively get what we get. Obviously, progress through the month of May, we'll be keeping an eye on key themes, and on the 4th of June we'll do a quick summary of how much feedback did we get, what were the themes, what were kind of burning issues. But no, I can assure all councillors that you'll be receiving the raw feedback every Friday, because this is a tight time frame. We've lost time with Alert Level 4. We are we're not wanting to be the council that doesn't adopt an annual plan by the 30th of June. And we're firmly focused on adopting it on the 25th of June and setting our rates on the 25th of June. So you will get it raw. It'll be in a different state to what you're used to receiving it in, but you will be getting it direct from the public.
Oh, look, I love raw data markets. Great. And the final thing was, you mentioned the weighted interest cost being 4.4% of our average borrowings. Sort of building on what Councillor Coutts was talking about, I was just curious to know, why is it so high as an average percentage cost, considering what the interest rates are in the current market?
Yeah, thanks, Councillor. Through you, Mr. Mayor. So Councillor, I assure you that I'm very aware of that you like a briefing on our treasury management. So we budget at 4.5%. I think we all know that mortgage rates right now, if you were fixing today for 1 year, it's at 3.05%, and I'm sure we're all aware of what our interest rate swaps are at. you know, for 10 years and 2 years. So the reality is, Councillor, our debt has actually accumulated over a significant amount of time, and we have financial derivatives or interest rate swaps that are hooks. In 2014, a 10-year swap that was under 4% was considered to be gold dust. Now they're under 0.1%. But what you sign up to is you sign up to these interest rate swaps for 10 years or 2 years or 5 years or whatever it is. And, the reason why we do that is we have to protect the council against rising interest rates. Our interest rates are going down, but we're still paying that higher rate. So on balance, it's out to a sensible budget number of 4.5%, because we have on our books some very expensive debt and some expensive interest rate swaps that at the time were a good price when they were transacted. But I would like to assure you that when we get a little bit of breathing space and capacity, we will schedule in a Treasury 101 briefing with the board.
Oh, that's great. Thank you very much for that, Mark. I'm finished. Thank you.
Thank you. Rob McCann, then Jocelyn.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Mayor, and through you. And thank you for a really comprehensive report, Mark. I'm just slightly concerned that there's mention there in point 48 that there's still budget left to progress waste minimisation, carbon emission, etc., housing, and Waikanae Library. I just wonder if at a later point we could have an update on where you're going to find those monies. One of our councillors often refers to a hidden pot of gold, and perhaps that's where that funding comes from. But could we, at a later point, talk about where that funding to continue those projects is coming from, and give us confidence that they won't actually stall?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Councillor. So, included in the 2.6%, we already do have budget for those initiatives. We were just on the 10th of March. There was top up applied to the budget. So those budgets are already included in the 2.6%, both for housing and for waste minimisation initiatives. I don't know whether Sean or Janice might be able to just tell you what those budgets are, but the point of that paragraph, Councillor, was to effectively de-risk the recommendation that we were making to yourselves, that we're not saying take the budget out completely. We've already got included a 2.6% budget for those initiatives. It's just that additional top-up that you added on the 10th of March, we're recommending you take out. The exact amounts, if we aren't able to give those to you today, I can certainly send those to you. No problem at all.
Thank you.
Jocelyn.
Thank you. So I just want to follow up on Jill's question, specifically around Namanu and your comments, Mark, in relation to the fact that you're closely monitoring their PGF application. So I think also someone made the comment that if their application wasn't successful, we'll turn it around the other way. So I suppose my thought was, if you actually put the money in, their application is more likely to be successful. And if it's not successful, then obviously the money doesn't get paid to them. So I'm just wondering around, you know, what the reasoning is behind removing that money when potentially that application might fall over. When, you know, as we've talked about, we've talked about local tourism, and that is actually one of the key tourism sites on the Kapiti Coast, and maybe we might be being a little bit short-sighted there and actually financially supporting them there. And So it was the figure was
50,000.
50K, yeah.
Yeah.
Which isn't really a great amount of money in the scheme of things either.
Yeah, Thank you, Councillor, and look, I might see if Alison may be able to bring more context to this. But look, my understanding of where we're at with that is that the notion of providing $50,000 to Namanu was to assist with operating costs of the visitor, of the revolving centre. So they needed to secure the funding from the PGF to be able to do it, but they were going to be going operational costs that we were looking to assist them with. So the reason why we're saying, well, look, let's take that $50,000 out right now is because of the uncertainty as to whether they're going to secure that funding at all. There has been lots of conversations and close dialogue with them, and we're just saying right now, when we're looking at or needs must, we're recommending that we do take that out now, because we don't know if that visitor centre is going, if they're going to get the funding, if they're going to be able to do it. They may not even have those future operating costs. So the need for that funding right now is a question mark. I hear what you're saying, that every effort must be put. We're competing for domestic tourism patronage, and this is one area that, I think the reality is we're not in a situation where they've been given the green light, where we'd be saying with certainty that we'll be.
Yeah. Okay, so thank you for that. So in terms of their application, is their application is solely for capital funds, and this is actually something to support them in terms of operation, if operational funds, if it got the green light.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor, that is my understanding. Look, I'm not extremely close to the details, so if I am correct, if I'm incorrect, I'm very happy to be corrected by Alison. But that's my understanding, Councillor.
Thank you.
Right. Have you got a response to Gwyn's question earlier on?
May I just quickly? It's Jacinda speaking. May I just quickly respond to the last question?
Who's this?
It's Jacinda speaking. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
In regards to Jocelyn's question, I guess in terms of Namanu, the funding, because it's not our asset and we're investing in them, then we can make a decision to fund them over a period of time. And effectively, we're funding that they may create assets, but from our for in terms of OPEX and CAPEX, we're not actually contributing to an asset that is our own. So it would never be a CAPEX investment from our side. And I know we have worked on arrangements in the past where we've done things like capitalize the investment we made in the performing arts. How we messaged it through this presentation was that we may choose to fund through borrowings over a period of 5 years a contribution to Namanu, and that can be decided as we go along. But essentially, that could be a longer term investment, which is for capital for them, but is funded through rates over a period of time.
Very good. Gwyn Compton.
Thank you. Through you, Mr. Mayor, I just saw Jacinda posted what the headroom is. It's 11.1 million, I think it was. So that's very helpful. Thank you. One thing I've noticed looking through our recommendations today and looking at Wellington City Council's agenda, because they're also considering their draft annual plan today, is nowhere do we specifically say in the recommendations what the targeted rates increase we're going for in the draft annual plan is. It can only really be inferred if you go back through the board and look at points in the recommendations, points 110 to 111. So I was wondering if we could actually include something similar in our recommendations, even if it's just as simple as council agrees that the 2020-21 rates increase is targeted to be set at 2.6%. And then you could sort of follow on with the rest of it after 110.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Thanks, Councillor. Look, that may be a modification that we need to make at the right at the end, similar to what we did in the last report. How we drafted the report, as we've been through many of these cycles before, and we actually don't know when it comes to voting what you'll vote for. So the recommendations are structured in a way, for example, you may not accept one of our recommendations and the average rates increase may not be 2.6%. So for that reason, we didn't expressly say, you know, there's no recommendation that, you know, the average rates increase is 2.6%. Saying that, I've heard what you've said, and if you agree to all the recommendations and it is 2.6%, we can certainly add a recommendation for you today to the report.
Yeah, that would be acceptable, I think. I think looking through Wellington City Council stuff, they have quite some detailed stuff in there about agreeing to, again, similar to what you've suggested, the details within the report and the consequences of if they didn't do that as well, which I think is quite useful. But I appreciate we're not going to go and make wholesale changes to the recommendations at this point. So, yeah, maybe you're right, something that goes at the end there.
Yeah, and through you, Mr. Mayor, look, we certainly didn't assume that you would vote yes to everything. So we didn't want you to feel that you were being backed into a corner whatsoever.
Right, we've got two more hands going up. Jocelyn and then Janet Holbrook.
Thank you. Yeah, so I did actually have a supplementary question when I was talking before, but it's good now that I can ask it. So I just wanted to follow up on the comments that Sean, I think, made in relation to cars and electric cars. So long term, you know, I certainly support purchasing electric cars, but given, you know, the situation at present where we're trying to reduce our rates as much as possible, you know, I think that probably that should be held off. But I also just wanted to follow up on the comment that Sean made that there's still potentially going to be a purchase of a car going, occurring, and I'm not sure whether that's actually an electric car or not. But given the lack of use, I'm just wondering whether that should be deferred as well. So there's, so wondering if that could be deferred as well, please.
So you, through you, Mr. Mayor. So yeah, the criteria that we have at the moment for renewing vehicles is a formula basically based on an over a 5-year age. There are a number of criteria: maintenance costs relative to ongoing depreciation and running costs, and there's another criteria in there about the number of kilometres. I think over 100,000 kilometres. So we use that as the basis for projecting out the renewals for the fleet, and based on that formula, we were looking at replacing one vehicle next year that was due for replacement with an electric vehicle. The extra funding was to, supplement that formula to allow us to replace some vehicles sooner rather than later. So that was the basis for the extra funding. When we look at replacing that vehicle again, that would be on the basis of how many Ks the vehicle had done. So if over the next 4 to 6 months we don't do as many Ks, then we likely wouldn't replace it in terms of the current policy.
I think that's something that should be very seriously considered, because there's no point spending some money when in reality the vehicle is still perfectly operational. But then again, you've got to look at the cost of depreciation and the resale value if it actually is delayed. So it'd be good if that could be considered, particularly in the light of what's going on.
Right. So that's the process that we follow.
I understand the process. It's like renewing a lot of playground equipment as well, when sometimes, you know, the playgrounds aren't actually as bad, that they don't really need it, but that's just the process that's used. And I think sometimes you need to take, you know, a pragmatic look at these things is probably sometimes useful.
Okay, moving along.
It's not the same as the playgrounds, sorry, but it's based on maintenance costs at the time exceeding those costs associated with continuing to operate the vehicle.
Okay. So, the next question, Janet Holbrook.
Yeah, I'm happy to test the water and move these recommendations that we've discussed today.
Councillor Janet, James Coates has signaled that he wants to move this.
Okay, that's fine. So I did have a question as well before I did that. we've only had one suggestion come through the line of questioning. I mean, we might have more during debate, but removing the Aotearoa Park budget, would that constitute a material and significant change and trigger the need for consultation?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, through you. Look, it is something that's planned in the long-term plan. If you're removing it outright, which I don't think you are, you may be looking to defer it or reschedule when it's been done. So it's probably worth just clarifying what the proposal was. If you're removing it from the capital works program, that's impacting the entire park development. That would trigger consultation. Yes.
Yeah, I believe that was what was being suggested. I'm happy to be corrected on that. I just wanted to clarify that. Thank you.
Right, James.
Thanks, Guru. I think before I look to moving the recommendations, it's probably worthwhile just having a question around that Aotearoa Park. Through public speaking, it was raised around the purpose in which that park was purchased and the timeframes and so forth. Obviously, I provided some comment as an elected member at the time, but I just wondered if staff could comment on, I guess, the risks in terms of removing that. It's something that has been raised today, and I think we should consider whether it stays in or comes out, and it would be helpful to hear from staff on that to enable elected members to make an informed decision.
Can we get a staff response?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, it's Alison here, if I can respond to that. Just picking up on some of the comments that were made this morning, prior to COVID, we were struggling to fit in football particularly. They have outgrown Waikanae. Their numbers were growing incredibly well over the last few years. So we've been using Aotearoa significantly to fill in that gap for football as a whole. The purpose of the building is to cater for all sporting events and also to open the park up further for other events. So at the moment there are no facilities there. So this would enable us to attract other events and activities at the park, obviously taking into account the playing field, so to speak, has changed a little bit with COVID, but moving forward it'll absolutely be needed for that. The timing for the build was going to be a split over 2 years, so it wouldn't be ready to use until summer 2021, which by then I would imagine that we would be back closer to being normal. So this is well-timed to support the growth of sport, events and activities in our district, and also keep our community and economy back up and running.
Thank you, Alison. And Wayne, would you mind just chiming in here again around the...
Wayne's away.
Oh, he's left. Okay. I guess just Wayne's earlier advice from, I think it was one of the economists, around the benefit of the capital spend within the community. So I think we need to keep that in mind as well. But interested in other councillors' views and whether there's support for this to stay in or come out before I look at putting the recommendations forward.
Jack Elliott.
James, can you hear me? Look, for me personally, I'm well aware, and as Trevor Daniel reminded us, that when this park was first mooted, it was a long-term plan. It was development over 35 to 50 years. And in the meantime, it was only opening the sports fields, of course, and that has been achieved. And secondly, the planting of hundreds of exotic and native, or mainly exotic trees, and just and getting them to establish for a park-like greenfield setting. Very quickly, within 2 or 3 years of that, everything was pushed forward. Yes, we needed a park management development plan, but then the push forward was because that plan consultation opened up the possibility of a complete pull forward of all budgets. So I don't think it's a necessary at a time when we have got sports fields being provided, we have got less use of the sports fields for the foreseeable future, and this is for an amenities block. Now, I'd like to ask Chris Paps and James and Angela exactly how much the toilet block at Ōtaki Rivermouth costs to put in, because there is, I know from the one that we had put in at the pots up Ōtaki Gorge 7 years ago, that is completely compostable and sits there with its own water tank and is completely serviceable and it's great, that they cost nothing like $100,000. So I'm proposing that we reduce that $700,000, defer the full building, and meantime invest in a couple of good quality compostable toilets that are able to work standalone with a solar unit and a water tank, and that they sit there and they fulfil that use in the meantime. $700,000 is a lot of money in this budget, and it will enable things like the electric vehicle purchase, which is a good green alternative, and it will enable things like a little bit of playroom there, headroom for us to work with as we make our decisions today and going forward.
Bernie Randall. Bernie.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor. I just basically said I'm very determined that it should be taken out, and I feel so strongly that I'll be voting against this if it remains.
Okay, Angela Buswell.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Oh, yeah. I would rather see some kind of progress. And as Shimmer Bell, the economist, said, if you spend $1 million on capital expenditure, it creates about 150 jobs or something in that vicinity. So with that in mind, I think that we should push forward with Otoroa Park. And as a member of the community with family involved in many sporting activities around the coast, we need these facilities for the growth of our community. At the moment, we don't really understand the full impact of COVID-19, either to our economy or to our growth. Already, many of our parks and recreation areas are well used and overused, and that also plays a part, I think, on with the maintenance costs of these parks that are having to be resurfaced constantly because they are being overused. So from that perspective, I'd like to see Otoroa Park kept in. Just to reply to Jackie's comment around the toilets down at Ōtaki Rivermouth, they ring in around $117,000 for the actual unit. Now, that was the cheapest unit on the market, and it was also plumbed to the mains to try and reduce those costs. The cost to KCDC was $46,000, and that could have heavily been reduced by engaging local community people happy to do some of the surveying and things for that.
Right, anybody else on the topic? Jackie, Martin, press your brief in. Martin already, then Jackie again.
Sorry, I did have my hand raised, got taken down there. I see there's two parts to this conversation. There's one part, which is the future planning aspect of this, which revolves around eventing, which is quite significant investment. But the first part is what we're discussing now, is building on the, I think, is it correct me if I'm wrong, about a $4 million investment in drainage in those sports fields. And this is about meeting a community demand for sports fields, is what I'm hearing. So we've got growth in football. They're running out of space in Waikanae. We're talking about, you know, potentially having an increase in people moving to the area. But we need to be forward planning in this area. And from what Alison was saying, we're not going to see this facility in place for at least another year and a half, maybe 2 years. and it's supporting fields that are currently being used. And the reason they're being used is because of the drainage and everything that has been done. It's to support the growth of sport. It's about meeting community need. I'm not hearing that it's there to support additional tourism-based activity. Yes, potentially things could be done on the field, but that's not the purpose of this. That's sort of in phase two, if you like, which had quite substantial investment in a lot of, and I look at the flare scenario, there where they're looking at putting amphitheatres, they're looking at putting tracks, all that sort of, none of that's going ahead. And I would be very, I certainly wouldn't be opposing if sort of wouldn't be supporting if it was, but that's not the case here. I am also hearing that we're going to be jiggling budgets in the next financial year. So that 700,000 might start off at that figure, but there's nothing that says it's going to end up at that figure. Comparing, you know, in relation to the research that's done, that might end up being deferred. It's an allowance that's been made. I dare say it's an allowance that has a lot of work already done into it. In its current form, I'll be supporting this. Sorry, Bernie. But I do feel it's more sports orientated and community orientated rather than a larger picture, which has also been presented to us as well for future use, which I think needs to happen a lot further down the track. Thank you.
Right, anybody else before Jackie gets another go? No? Jackie?
On page 13, paragraph 24 chart, it says that this is a particular line item is a stage one at 700K, not a $4 million investment. We just need to confirm that. I'm not sure where perhaps Martin is referring to the full stages of development. But also, this park can be fully utilised for environmental events. We can do the shag show up there as it is. And also, for organic festivals, organic river festivals are greenfields events. They are worldwide events. They will put Kapiti on the map. The one that was recently closed over the last few years in Levin's Kimberley Reserve was the 10th biggest and best organic festival in the world at the point that it closed, and it closed because it grew so big. That's the sort of tourism-based and economic development, you know, enhancing event that can take place on a green field with zero impact and zero facilities. In fact, organisers of these events worldwide absolutely delight in having zero infrastructure, and I think Sophie were not ahead of that, but that's okay. The way they work. Yeah, okay. That's the way they work. So this is definitely not a no-go to economic development and future development of the park. This is saying a deferral. This is saying let's swap out a $700,000 item for a cheaper one. And I have a quick question on the electric vehicles. Jocelyn's talking that she thought it was still in the annual plan. However, according to the chart on page 14, paragraph 31, it has been removed, the electric vehicle purchase. And I would like to ask, perhaps Sean can tell us, for this 300K, has the council accessed the government's electric vehicle purchasing, fleet purchasing grant, which is the EV First grant, which is very, very generous and would assist council in making these purchases? So that's a few things.
Sean.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. So I'm not aware of a government grant. We are part of the all of government purchasing procurement contract, which gives us a significant discount on vehicles. So if we were purchasing those vehicles, they'd be through that process.
So there is a specifically funded EV First grant for councils and for businesses when they're looking at replacing fleets or in doing fleet renewals. And it is quite a generous grant too from the times I've looked at it, and I've certainly passed on information about it to staff in the past.
Okay. Happy if you if you would like to send that information through, we would certainly have a look at it. Again, I know there's a support package for electric bicycles, but again, I hadn't heard of a grant unless ECA are providing some sort of subsidy, but...
Okay.
Martin, I'm going to give you the last go. And after that, I'm going to go back to James Coates.
I just wanted to clarify on Jackie's comment, it wasn't talking about a $4 million forward spend. This is money that's already been invested in drainage and the preparation of those fields. Perhaps, Alison, you could clarify money that has perhaps been spent in that arena. Well aware that's a $700 in this, but in next financial year's budget, and I think similar amount in the following year's budget. The only issue I have with eventing in that area is the access through Camelot. I'm very concerned that large numbers of people will have trouble getting through there. But I think from a sports field perspective, that there's not that issue doesn't exist.
Alison.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. So there has been some money spent there on drainage and upgrades. I think all up it's in the few $100,000 realm. And just to note that, yes, this build is over 2 years, so it's a total of $1.5 million, bearing in mind that there are no services to the park at the moment. So that's covering everything to do with the build, such as power, water supply, wastewater, septic tanks, all those things. And in order for us to be able to cater for sporting community further, at the moment we can't have big games there because the adults haven't got anywhere to get changed. We get portacoms in, but we've had a flag from the bigger events that they won't come unless we have adequate changing facilities.
Alison, can you go back to the point of this capital investment you're talking about, the contracting overflow from that or multiplier effect from that on the economy? Do you have anything to say around that?
I guess just supporting what Wayne has said about the number of jobs that are contributed to by having the capital spend.
Right, okay. James, you want to introduce the resolutions?
Yeah, look, thank you, Guru. And look, team, I've listened to the comments from the other councillors and you know, please know I haven't put them aside. I do want to test the appetite of the council and put the recommendations, including the one for Otoroa Park, in. My personal view, and hence why I'm moving the recommendations, is that we need to start that project. As I said, when I was a community board member at the time and the park was purchased, there was pressure on the land back then in Jenny Rowan's time for the sporting fields to be developed, and that's articulated in the newspaper articles at the time when the land was purchased. So I'm going to move the recommendations found on page 23 from 109 through to 117. I understand there may be an amendment if there are some that disagree with the Otoroa Park, and I guess we'll see how that goes. I want to acknowledge the challenges of COVID-19 on those within our community. I know that there's been, a call from some within the community for a zero rates impact. Look, there's probably not a councillor around the table or a staff member that would not like to deliver that, but we're also elected to make decisions that are in the best interest of our community. And as we've heard, there is some risks to doing that. There's costs directly associated with that in terms of interest paid on debt to fund the shortfall. You know, many in our community, including ourselves, will face some financial pressure from COVID. And I think the packages that we've delivered respond to that. Equally, there are some in our community who aren't financially affected by COVID-19. And I personally know many people that aren't affected financially through this. So, you know, we need to be careful we're not having a broad brush approach, and that we have support where support is needed. And I think in terms of looking at the councils around the country, a rates increase of 2.6% is modest in comparison to some of our neighbours. You know, we've done to death the debate around the capital expenditure program, and I think the evidence is pretty overwhelming out there that investing in our community through capital projects supports a local economy, supports local people in terms of employment, and also provides attractions and enhancements to the district to make it more welcoming for people to come into Kapiti. I also want to acknowledge that the council staff have and will continue to look for further savings within the operational budget. And as the chief executive has alluded to, that this isn't the end, this is just the beginning, and that we will need to be responsive through the next part of the financial year as things arise. And so with all that in mind, I want to move these recommendations, and look for a seconder and look forward to the discussion and debate.
I think Janet Holbrook has raised her hand. Janet, you're seconding it?
Yes, I would like to second that and to talk about everything James has said. I also want to suggest a further motion noting that council staff are, through this process, are looking for additional savings.
Janet, could I just add to that? I had a recommendation 118, which I'm just going to cut and paste to the chat thread so staff have it. And I'm putting that in now. And so 118 notes that council staff will come back to elected members with an updated capital works program list. So that doesn't cover off what you wanted to add, Janet, but we could, I guess, add that as 119.
Oh, look, it's similar enough. Similar enough. I'm happy. It just highlights that there is some, you know, there's further work to be done. So that's fine.
So that's 118.
Yeah, so 109 through to 118. I was going to move that separately, but I'll move it all together.
May I just ask a quick question from Jacinta on that one? In terms of the overall review of CapEx, I guess that would depend on how things go with central government and the projects that they're looking at for us in terms of shovel ready. So we'll probably, in terms of review, I would see that happening over this next quarter and then also into the first quarter of next year. Is that sort of roughly what you're thinking?
Yeah, look, I didn't have a time frame around that for that very reason, Jacinta, understanding it's a bit of a fluid situation there. But I think that in order for us to be able to communicate with our community on what we're actually doing, we need to have that capital works program, because it is the big chunk of the of the budget.
Can I also say, Mr. Mayor, that we have 118 already put forward by Mr. Mark de Haast. It talks of approves the average rate increase of 2.6% for the draft 2020-21 annual plan to be finalised on the 25th of June 2020. So the 119 is the recommendation from Councillor Coutts.
Thanks. So the mover and seconder are happy with 118?
Correct.
Vision? Okay.
Yep.
Janet?
Yes.
Okay, now it's open for debate. Janet Holbrook, do you want to start? Or?
I'm aware that somebody else had their hand up and I don't have any opening speech, right?
You marked it earlier on.
I'm happy with everything that Councillor Coutts has said. I think we've gone through this quite thoroughly for quite a long time now, and I do agree that we do need to keep up some capital spending. I think that this is very sensible and needed capital spending in terms of the growth and demographic of our district. So I'm happy to support these recommendations today. Thank you. And thanks to all they've done.
Mr. Mayor, can I just make a comment?
Yes.
So through you, Mr. Mayor, just whilst I've been listening, I've had a chance to read through the chat sessions, and there seems to be some dialogue as to why Gary is in attendance. So I just wanted to explain. So I actually did invite both Gary and Brian to attend the meeting today, given that our Audit and Risk Subcommittee are not meeting until advised further under COVID-19. I thought, given the significance of the decisions that you're making today and following advice from the OAG, I thought it was entirely appropriate to have Gary and Brian present today. So Gary is here through invite. Obviously, there's no voting rights today. So, and I just wanted to give you all assurance and comfort by having Gary in the meeting today with us to raise any concerns, which he hasn't. But I just wanted to make sure that it was very clear as to why Gary was attending with us today. It's certainly not normal practice, but we normally don't have it's not normal that we don't have an ordinary subcommittee.
With all due respect, if you had signaled that to me earlier, I may have bent the rules to allow them to have given the extraordinary circumstances we are in, I would have allowed him to say something about some overall perceptions of where we've landed.
It's not too late.
With that, Guru, if there's an opportunity and if Gary wants to, it would be helpful if he has any comments to add from an audit and risk perspective. Don't want to put him on the spot, but I mean, if he's silent, then he's comfortable. But
yeah, it's Mr. Jackson's not here either. No? Mark?
No, Mr. Mayor. Unfortunately, Mr. Jackson couldn't attend today.
So I'll just open it to the councillors. Are we willing to hear from Gary Simpson, the independent member of the Audit and Risk Committee? Thumbs up. Okay. Gary. Gary, would you like to say something? Has Gary left the house?
Appear to be in the meeting.
Pardon?
I think he's left.
Oh well. It is what it is. Right. The next person to talk, to debate, Gwyn Compton.
Throughout the drafting of the annual plan, we've had to respond to this really rapidly changing situation from COVID-19, and I echo the sentiments that other councillors have had, that the work that staff have done to get us from that original 5.7 down to 2.6 has been great work under really challenging conditions and a really rapidly changing situation too. But in saying that, I think it's really important that the situation didn't just stop developing after our last workshop on this. It's kept developing and more information's kept coming up. So we got in the last economic development update, those figures around the impacts on our retail sector. And if you're a supermarket, you're doing great. But for others, you know, your accommodation, tourism, and a few others, they've had their entire income wiped out throughout April. And some of that will start to return now, but you know, long term, they're going to have a significant impact on their cash flow, on their ability to pay things. And the same goes for our ratepayers here as well. There's a figure that came out yesterday that unemployment's up 30,000 just in the 4 weeks to April 17th. Treasury's put out analysis that's shown that under level four, the reduction in GDP over that time was 40% of it. Under level three, they're looking at 25%. So we've got these thousands of people, 30,000 people more out of work. There'll be tens of thousands on top of that who are working reduced hours. And there'll be a whole lot more who are just surviving on whatever wage subsidy their employers have actually been able to pay them over this time. So I think it's really important to take that into account too and how we're deliberating today. So I've been carefully weighing up my position on this over since we had that workshop, because obviously, as I mentioned before, things are changing and it very much looks like things are going to get more difficult for our communities over the coming months rather than better, as the impacts from the level four and level three lockdowns as they sort of, the effect of them comes through in all the numbers that we see. And I appreciate that whatever decision we make, there are going to be trade-offs today, whether it's a slightly increased rates rise this year, or if we did something else, then you'd have to make up that funding with greater rate rises in the future. And I appreciate that staff are going to come back to us, I think it was the 4th of June, with additional options on how we could actually get that number down even further. During those workshops, I asked a couple of questions about the 0% rate rise and what the impacts of that might be. And we potentially haven't had that come through as well in the previous discussions I would have liked. But I do wonder, when Phil Twyford talks about us using, or the government talks about us using our balance sheets more, is this the option that we should do it to get that rates rise figure down even further, that we accept, we ease stuff as much as we physically can for ratepayers this year. And we acknowledge that the long-term trade-off that is that we're going to have, you know, a extra half a percentage of rate of that to make up in future years while we repay, you know, whatever percentage of the $2.1 million it might be that, or the whole lot if we, you know, if that was an option. So, yeah, I guess that's the thing that I'm struggling with here is balancing that off, acknowledging that things for our ratepayers, now that we're seeing much more of the data come through, are extremely tough at the moment. And, you know, what might seem like a small figure for us in terms of the average rates rise per week, which I think was $1.65, you know, for someone who's maybe, they're in a better house, but they, I don't know, they might be on a lower income for some reason, that, you know, those figures are going to play out differently across the district, especially down in Waikanae Beach, where they've traditionally had quite high rate, right, the upper end of the range that forms the average. So, yeah, I'm of the view that the stuff we've done is good so far, but there is more that we need to look at to get that figure down as much as possible, if not zero. So that's sort of my perspective on it. I don't think with the data that's coming out, that 2.6, even though it's been good work to get here, I still don't think that's necessarily defensible in the eyes of the public. But I'm saying that I respect that council has done an amazing job to get to this point. And, you know, if the view of the council is to go with that, then, you know, I respect that as well.
Right. Next one, Jackie Elliott.
I was just going to ask the James and Janet, mover and seconder, how you would feel about another wee statement put on the end of recommendation 119, where it notes the council are coming back with an updated CAPEX program, but also noting the council are coming back with options for reductions in OPEX for our consideration, including the lease details and contractual commitments around the two buildings that we lease for staff.
I'll respond to that, given that I move the recommendation. I'm assuming that Sean might be acting chief executive in Wayne's absence. Is that right, Guru?
Yep.
I guess, Jackie, I will defer to Sean a little bit. I personally don't have an issue with wording around that the chief executive and senior leadership will, you know, look at further savings. I guess what I wouldn't probably be so keen to do is get down to detailing it.
Takati
House and so forth, because if you got one and you miss another, you know, I think it's better just to have it that they'll be looking for further operational savings. So, Sean, I just want to check with you. I know that the discussion has been raised with councillors, with the team, and at the end of the day, it's a governance decision in terms of, you know, what the council, the will of the council, but it would be helpful to have a response from yourself in Wayne's absence.
Can I just say that I think the manager of corporate services have already responded to Jackie Elliott and said that will include in a report that's going to come back to us.
Through you, Mr. Mayor.
Could I just respond?
Make a comment?
Sean.
Well, what I was going to say was really endorsing what Councillor Coutts had said, and that we're happy to come back with the work that's ongoing in terms of potential savings across the organisation, and that will obviously incorporate anything that was available in terms of any sort of lease or
Thank you, Sean.
Sorry. And Mark, okay. Mark, you wanted to re-emphasise the response you gave to Jackie Elliott.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you. Look, I just wanted to bring another dimension to the conversation. So, I actually didn't touch on, but should have spoken about another recommendation, is that we've taken inflation out of the budgets for next year. So we've never done that before. And the risk of doing that is that we have a whole lot of contracts where we're contractually committed to increase our payments for service. So that's come out. And how we're going to have to manage that next year is that we're going to either have to do less work because we're bound to make those increased contractual payments, so we have to turn some work off, or we're going to have to increase our borrowings, or we're going to have to repurpose budgets. So when I said we were going to do a work off between now and the 4th of June, we've looked at our budgets thoroughly, and there's not an awful lot that we can take out now. We've taken inflation out. What we're going to focus on is the CapEx program, because if we reduce the CapEx program, we reduce borrowings. Reduce borrowings, you reduce interest costs, and there's a savings to the ratepayer there. We know from the past we've had some significant revaluation increases to our three water assets, and we do a comprehensive due diligence program. And I can't commit to you that at the end of that due diligence program, we're going to actually say to you, we've actually saved $100,000 on depreciation because we've actually managed to argue the revaluation increase down. At the moment, we have our valuers telling us that the increase to our unit costs is 6%, and COVID-19 has had no impact on our unit rate to replace our pipes. So we are revaluing, not at 31st of March, but we're going to be revaluing at 30th of June, and we're going to do the diligence and we're going to challenge our valuers because we believe that COVID-19 has had an impact. But the question, what I'm really trying to be very clear is, we'll look at that CapEx program, we'll look at the revaluations, but we've stripped out an awful lot, and to commit to come back to you on the 4th of June with savings, there's no guarantee that I can make to you that I am going to be able to find savings in the revaluation of our assets this year. So, and I did want to labour the point that by cutting inflation out, that's including inflation to personnel costs. So there's we're running very, very lean, and if there is some savings that are crystallised through changing the CapEx program, the revaluation, that's fantastic. But we are fast approaching. If you want rates reduced even further, you have to do that through borrowings.
Okay. Look, we need to move on. Jackie, who else needs to speak before I put the resolutions for vote? Okay. Nobody else? So are we ready to? Oh, okay. You've got Jackie. Are you still wanting to speak on this?
Yes, please. Okay. So, look, thank you, Mark, for your comments. I'm simply asking that, as we note staff coming back with more information about CapEx, and you've already made a commitment to coming back on the 4th of June.
Let me just caution you all. Look, we're now debating session. We don't want to go back to questions to the staff again and rerun the whole thing.
No, I'm debating.
So make your big picture comments.
And what I asked Janet and James if they would approve for the same sort of statement, that saying staff will come back to us with possible, put in the word possible, considerations for reduction in OPEX. And I think it is really, really important that if anything, the public see us and we are seen to be making that request of management, you know, for the 8th annual plan in a row. It's really important public relations wise that we are seen to do this. And that is why I ask. So I'll leave it with you, James and Janet.
If you can put an amendment if you want and test it.
Guru? Can we just proceed? We've heard from Sean that he's okay with the wording that I suggested. I, interestingly, in terms of having my right of reply, I had noted in there the comments that Mark had made already prior to Mark saying it. So just acknowledging the cuts made, including no increase into the council salary budget and so forth. So Mark, it certainly hasn't been missed by me. And I think if we have the resolution that just notes that council will continue to look for savings, it could be, you know, simply not leasing one of the buildings. Or equally, we may continue to need to lease the building and there'll be a reason behind that. So you know, I think the fact that you've articulated today that things are pretty lean as it is, gives some sort of safety around the expectations.
So what's your, James, reaction for, did I get it right that Jackie Edith wanted to do not only capital work but operational?
Yeah.
Look, I think the suggestion was that the chief executive and the senior leadership team will continue to look for further savings. I don't think we need to elaborate any further. And if that, if there is none, they'll articulate that they looked and there wasn't. You know, and if, for example, one of the buildings that Jackie mentioned isn't able to be let go, then again, the reasons behind that will be mentioned as well. You know, every argument has to have its case to stand up.
I'm comfortable with the blanket statement from the chief executive, which he made that they will be continuing to look at savings. I think that should cover it. Jackie, I think you can pursue it offline. I think that you take that assurance from staff, and we've got the next few months to work that through.
Yeah, thanks. I think I'll reflect my feelings on the vote.
Okay, next is Martin Holliday.
Put the washing out and put
okay.
Grab some of these sisters, please.
Sorry, Jackie's still, well, you're on, so. My view is, look, this whole annual plan has pretty much been put together in a whole, almost an original format with a whole new mindset in relation to how we've been reacting to this whole COVID-19 situation. And I think we need to give this new mindset the opportunity to work. That's going to happen over the next 12 and 24 months. We're still in the early stages of all this. I'm about to run out of juice. You know, I'm seeing will. I'm seeing will from the senior leadership team. I'm seeing will from staff. I'm seeing will from councillors and the community to make this all work. I think the fact that we've got down as low as we have and there's a will there to be continually working on this needs to be taken into consideration and given the chance to work. It's now up to us to make this work. And it is an evolving situation. I'm supporting it the way it currently is because I'm seeing that will and I'm looking forward to working with it.
Very good. Now I'm looking at councillors who have not spoken yet. Rob McCann.
Hi, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, I'd like to support this. I think the council have done an excellent job on helping to reduce the rates, and that information has been provided over a number of sessions, and we've all had access to that information. So while I really do support that they can find additional savings, I think we need to support what we currently have. Thank you.
Right. Anybody else who hasn't spoken yet?
I agree with exactly what Rob's just said.
Any other councillors? Right. Gwyn, you.
Mr. Mayor, we've got Councillor Buswell that wanted to speak.
Right. Okay. Councillor Buswell.
Thank you. I have been chopping and changing. I've had some really bad reception, so sorry, I haven't contributed that much. I just wanted to say that I really appreciate everything that the staff has done, like all the other councillors around the table. I just want to express that, you know, I've been a councillor for 4 years and we've tried really, really hard to get into the financial position that we have found ourselves in. And in some respects, it's really sad to see us go slightly backwards by dropping things so much, but completely understand, and I'm so grateful that for the last 4 years, we have been trying hard to get into the financial position to be able to do what we've done today. And I really do believe that what we've done today is unprecedented and really, really amazing. To get down to the 2.6 has been such a hard fight for the staff that have been in a completely different mindset over the last few years. So I full-heartedly support the 2.6% and really hope, and we'll have to all keep our fingers crossed for the Provincial Growth Fund and the other Crown infrastructure projects to come through and see that growth in our area, particularly around jobs and things, because we know that it's going to be tricky out there. Thank you.
Right, any other councillors? So before I get James to his right of reply, I'd like to thank the council staff for the tremendous work that they put in, you know, on the run. Spent many hours, late nights. Like I said earlier on, I had already drafted a letter to delay this because finance team was under huge stress to get the report done. But they managed to do it, and kudos to them. And we know that we are in unprecedented times at the moment. I realize that there are people who want a zero rates increase, but we know we have pushed it as much as we can. 2.6 is actually a remarkable achievement to have pushed it down to that level. And we have the assurance of staff led by the chief executive that they will be looking at further savings as things change, because things are changing week by week, month by month. We can expect changes to come. So well done to everybody. And I ask that everybody supports the 2.6 and the resolutions from 109 to 120. James, right reply.
Guru, just before I do, in the Zoom chat thread, there's been a request from Councillor Compton to take the recommendations individually. And I believe under standing orders, any member can request that the vote is taken individually. So I'm just looking for your guidance there as chair before I proceed.
No, that's fine. Let's do that.
Thank you. So just moving recommendation 109. I'm assuming you don't want to read it all out.
So we're doing it. Hold on, James. So we're doing recommendation one after the other. So it's recommendation 109. All those
and I second.
Wanting to vote yes or no? So
I currently have only 10 votes. 10 votes for yes, and I have no one signaling a no. So
is there an abstention?
Who is that?
There's no vote from Councillor Randall.
Okay. So I'll take that as an abstention. So recommendation 109 is passed, is moved. Now to recommendation 110 from 1101 to 1107.
Yep. So I move that from point one right through to point seven.
And I'll second that.
So, cast your votes. Tanika.
So we're just waiting for, I have 9 yes votes, is that correct? And 0 no votes. Oh, 10 yes votes?
No, I'm abstaining on that. That's all, but there's no button to press for abstaining.
That's fine.
That's quite right. I mean, all you have to do is say that by a voice, saying they're abstaining, they'll be recorded. Okay, so that's passed. 10 and 1 abstention.
So, Guru, move recommendation 111.
And it's seconded by Janet Horbrough. Tanika.
Just bear with me. We have 11 votes, yes.
Okay, that's passed.
Move recommendation.
Now recommendation 112.
112.
Second.
And 11 votes yes.
Okay, so that's passed.
Sorry, it's changed. Is that because people have changed their mind or?
So what have you got?
So now we have 10 votes yes.
Is there an abstention?
Bernie, Councillor Randall.
Bernie, are you abstaining?
Oh, no. No, there's a tick there now.
Oh, no, we have 11. We now have 11.
Okay. This is exciting stuff. Resolution 113.
So, again, I'm happy to move 113.
Happy to second.
We have 11 votes. Oh, 10 votes yes. 11 votes yes.
So
I think, Tanika, I don't think you're actually clearing them between each voting. I don't know if that matters, but I think they're all just sitting there from one voting session to another.
Maybe we could all clear our own.
I'm clearing my own.
No, you just clear your own.
Yeah, okay. Well, mine aren't changing, but others might be. It's all
right. Resolution 114.
So are we still going with 11 for that last vote?
Yep. Okay. So resolution 114.
So moving 114.
Seconded. Janet Holbrook.
And we have 11. 11 for that.
Okay, so now we are going to 115.
Happy to move 115.
Seconded, Janet Holbrook.
Yep.
Eleven
votes,
yes.
Okay.
Moving 116.
116.
Eleven votes, yes.
Okay. 117. Moved.
Happy to move
117.
Yep.
I have 11 votes.
This passed. It's now 118.
Now, Guru, there was one from Mark de Haas, which I don't have. I have the two which have been suggested by elected members. So maybe I'm not too sure whether Mark wants it as 118 or whether he wants it at the end.
Isn't it there at 118? Approves an average rates increase of 2.6%. That was
I can't see it on my, it's a bit small.
It's here on mine. Do you want to?
Yeah, sorry, it's a bit small on my screen. So 118 as per the screen share.
Yeah.
Happy to move.
Move to second of Janet Holbrook, 118.
So we have 9 yeses and 2 noes.
Okay, carry it.
And then 119. Notes that council staff will come back to elected members with an updated capital works program list.
Seconded.
So I see 9 yes, 10 yeses and 0 noes, or 11 yeses. 11 yeses.
11 yeses. Okay, right.
Guru. Look, I know this is the first time we've done Zoom and we've got some challenges. Gwyn has called division and I'm assuming that was on the vote for the 2.6%.
The 118
one. Yeah, 118. Is that right, Gwyn?
Yeah, that was good. I'm happy for us to move on from it now.
Thank you.
No, but you can have your vote noted if you say no.
Yeah, I'm happy for that.
Okay.
So
last recommendation 119 notes that the Chief Executive and SLT will continue to look for further savings.
Seconded.
Right.
So we have 11 yeses, 11 yeses for 119.
Carried. 1-1, 1-2.
So the one we just moved was the capital works, not the savings.
Right? Yeah, that's
we
right.
are 1-1-2-0 notes that the CE and SLT will continue to look for further savings is what we're voting on now. So I have 11 yeses.
Carry.
So can I just go back to Councillor Compton, where did you want your division noted?
118, please.
So was Gwyn the only one who voted against that?
No, I also want it recorded as a division, please. And the first two or three ones, in fact, all of them, I like a division for all the items, please.
I think you just need to note their vote.
Well, I think the division shows for and against, doesn't it? For all the councillors.
That could be filled in later, as long as we note who was against.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Councillor Randall had a couple of abstentions earlier on. Did you want those recorded?
I've had his abstention for 1110 through to 1110.7. That's the only one that I had recorded.
I think the first one as well. Okay, good. We're all done then.
Guru, I raised Gwyn's division because he raised it in the chat thread. I'm not so sure that we should go back and do division for every single vote.
No. I think like Randall's one, he just wanted it to be noted.
So we can
be noted. That's all.
So Councillor Randall was abstained from 1110, and then we have a division called for 118.
Yep.
Yeah.
And because the voting is clear, we don't have to actually go through that. Okay, I think that brings recommendation the item 8 to an end, or 8.2 to an end. Should we take a 20-minute break?
Right. Yep. We can.
2:45. You're back.
2:45.
Did we not have a speaker scheduled to come into a briefing?
I know, but it was.
We have. That's now been cancelled, Councillor Elliott, okay. And we will reschedule.
Thank you.
For the second time. So we paid him twice.
Yeah.
But we'll see you all back here at 2:45.